Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted you could be with us today. By now, I think many of people know that Mr. Google considers me to be an expert on pets and the afterlife because nearly 4 years ago, I wrote a blog post at robertagrimes.com called Pets in the Afterlife. And therefore, every day I hear from bereaved pet parents. Every day I hear from people who have lost a human loved one, even a child, but their grief somehow doesn't seem quite so raw as it is if you have a beloved pet that's gone. My own theory, and we'll talk with my guest today about it too, is that the problem may be that nearly all of these pet parents who are bereaved seem to be suffering from guilt about one thing or another. They'll say, I should have taken her to the vet sooner. Maybe she didn't want to go to the vet. I couldn't ease his pain. I should have done more. Did he forgive me? Did she know how much I loved her? All these, heartbreaking questions. Maybe it's because animals can't speak to us. We don't have the same kind of closure when we lose them as we do often with a person. So let me just say right before we start, yes, she does forgive you. Yes, he did know you loved him and he still loves you so much now, even more than before. So having put those anxieties aside, we're going to talk today with someone who really knows. Karen Anderson wrote a terrific book, frankly. It's called The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, Messages and Signs from Our Pets on the Other Side. It came out in 2017, and it's already an Amazon number one bestseller, and it's won a variety of international book awards. It's a very happy book. It's full of the kinds of stories that bereaved pet lovers need now, and what's great about them is they're all true. I mean, not very many people can communicate with animals in the afterlife reliably, but she can do it with animals both in the afterlife and in the daytime while they're still alive. So I'm going to add her book to the bibliography in my fun books as we update it this fall. But I think you ought to hear from Karen. So welcome, Karen. We're so glad you've joined us.
Hi, Roberta. Thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
This is a really sweet person, you have to know. The first time I realized she's really sweet is you send her an email and you get back an email instantly. It's a responder. It's generic. But it sounds like it comes from a dear friend of yours. I mean, I've never seen, I have to copy your technique somehow. I've never seen
anything. Oh, please do.
It's what you send to people you don't even know. So this is a story that I think many people need to hear. Yes, our pets are fine in the afterlife, but there's so much more to it than that. So first, can you tell us a little bit about your own history and how you learned that you could do what you can do?
Absolutely. And, for me, as far back as I can remember, as a little kid, I could understand the animals, Roberta, but it was on a level of, I just kind of knew what they wanted or knew what they were thinking. It wasn't near what I do now, but I thought everyone could. I didn't know I didn't know I was doing something unusual or, what some people might consider weird. I just thought, when you're a little kid, you just think that's the way things are. And so when I started to share information with my family about our family pets and about our departed human loved ones, because I could see spirits too, I saw happy spirits all around me. They were really fun spirits, family members from way back.
Yes.
And when I started to share this with my family, they freaked out. And they're just like, what? they didn't know what to do with that. And it scared them. And they really discouraged me. They said I had an overactive imagination. They told me to stop talking to the dog. I mean, it was really...
Oh, interesting.
Kind of,
How old were you when this started to happen?
Probably about... five. I was right in that five to eight range.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that because I just thought, what do you mean stop? What do you mean? This is normal for me. So I learned very quickly that I needed to cover up and hide my abilities. And, you know, that's really, I think, so destructive. And, you know, my mom has apologized to me now, but back when I was a little kid, that was really heartbreaking because I thought it was kind of cool that I knew this stuff and could talk to the animals. So that's my earliest memory, going back as far as I can.
Can we pause and talk to parents of children? There are two important points that Karen has made. If you have a child that is telling you things that seem to be unbelievable, believe that child. Reality is as that child sees it. It doesn't matter what we think about it. Most Americans, frankly, are tainted by the fact that Christianity went so far off the rails so long ago that people think there's something evil about it. There's nothing evil about it. So talk to your children. Encourage them. Don't make them feel there's something wrong with them. I mean, it's wonderful you got past it, but you can destroy a child's life before the age of six by making that child believe that he or she is defective. It's terrible to do that. So your mother should have apologized. She did, and I'm glad it didn't hurt you, but it could have.
Yeah, it really messed me up for a while because, you know, you really want the approval of your parents, and at that age, they obviously did not approve. And so I kind of pushed it all down, and I didn't share my experiences with anyone. It actually drove me to be more closely connected to pets and spirits at that time because they understood me and they
those
encouraged
are your real
me.
Friends.
Right.
Yes.
So I know, right? It had that reverse effect. So I actually got even closer to the animals and spirits because I felt so comfortable in their presence and they really loved me for who I was and appreciated the fact that I was talking to them all the time. So that's how it all started. And you know, as I grew up, many years, of course, went by, and it wasn't until I was a police officer that those very same abilities resurfaced again for different reasons, of course, at that time. But that's where it all started to snowball when I was a cop.
So you were a cop. My goodness. So you then, I see you worked on cold cases. Is that how this all came up? You started hearing from people who were cold case victims?
Well, actually, the way that it all happened was a little bit bizarre, and it even shocked me. It was just, I was practicing my animal communication skills at the time anyhow in my personal life, but when I was on duty one time, I was actually on a crime scene, and I was investigating a domestic violence case, and I was interviewing the victim, and she was describing to me what had happened. Her then-boyfriend had assaulted her, and my partner was looking for him. He fled on foot, so we were standing out in front of her house, and I was taking her statement when her little kitty came diddy-bopping out of the house and walked right past us. And it went right over to this little outdoor garden shed kind of thing. And, of course, I paid attention to the cat because I love cats. So I'm like, oh, look at the kitty. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's Simon or whoever it was. And so I'm looking at the cat. The cat's looking at me. And all of a sudden, I heard the cat say, inside. And it was sitting right in front of this garden shed.
Oh.
And I thought, what the heck? Did that cat just say inside? And so I said to this cat, is the guy in there? And the cat confirmed that the guy was in there. And I thought, no way. It had already been searched. That shed had already been checked by my fellow officers. And so I went with it, Roberta. I went with it, and I got out my weapon, and I ordered him out with his hands up, and lo and behold, the doors of the shed open, and out popped the guy, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's when my brain was blown away. At that point, I was like, oh, my gosh,
yes.
No way. That animals could tell me things like that on a crime scene, so that's where it all started to snowball. Once I realized that, I'm like, there's nothing they can't tell me. If they can tell me this, they can tell me just about anything, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
That's where it all started to come back.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What a great story. And so after that, did you start to do more readings? Or how did you Did you do the cold case work that we talked about? I mean, is that something that you then went to? I don't know the series.
Okay, so then I just practiced my skills at that point because obviously it was so mind-boggling and fascinating and I couldn't believe it. And I actually didn't start working cold cases until after I left law enforcement and really sharpened my psychic abilities. That's when I started working on cold cases. I actually have several I'm working at the moment. So I work very closely with law enforcement and with the victims' families, and I help find missing persons. I help discover who suspects are in murder cases, and that's something that I sharpened after I left law enforcement. While I was a police officer, I was really just sharpening my skills at the time and practicing and learning all about it and opening myself up, having a spiritual awakening of sorts, because I had closed it and blocked it for so many years.
I know, and that's so tragic. Don't ever do that to your own children. Please, if you're listening and you have a gifted child, this is a glorious gift from God. Don't ever block it. We have a rather eccentric pet who actually owns our house, a cat, an older cat that's bounced around among family members and ended up with us. And I don't understand what goes on in her head. And it's clear to me, though, that she thinks it's her house and we are too stupid to understand when she wants to go out or what else she needs. So it's kind of humiliating, but that's how we live. But first, I'm going to answer a question that's in your minds. Are pets, do they have the same, they have consciousness? Yes. Are they of the same consciousness as human beings? Well, those who we used to think were dead tell us no. They are of a pure consciousness. If they are loved by human beings, they will be there in the afterlife. But, you know, like wild animals, what happens to them? They return to what is called a group consciousness. And just between you and me, there are plains in the afterlife full of bison and all kinds of animals, although, of course, there's no predation. So you have a lot to look forward to in coming to live again where these beautiful animals run free. So let's talk about this communicating you do with living pets, because that was kind of something they picked you for and you started doing with you. And then they said, okay, let's collaborate on a crime. I think that's so fabulous. Talk about communicating with pets. What do they tell you? What's going on in their little heads?
Well, you know, every single pet that I communicate with is different, and they all have their own unique situation. They all have personalities and characteristics that come through. But
That's wonderful.
Yes, and I will tell you for sure, though, that the one thing I love about them is that they are so, and I'm going to use this word in a different way, they're a selfish, not in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. They're about self. They're very much, their favorite topic is themselves, and their next favorite topic is themselves. And then you and I kind of come in somewhere down below after they talk about themselves. So a normal communication session with a cat or a dog or a horse, those are the main ones I work with. I do work with some parrots and some reptiles, but I'm mainly cats, dogs, horses. They will usually share something about what's going on with them, either right at that moment or something recent. I've had animals tell me that there were construction, home remodels going on. I've had them start off by telling me that they hurt somewhere. They'll talk about a pain or some kind of discomfort they're having in their body. They'll actually send me little twinges or sharp little shooting pain feelings wherever it is they're hurting. Oh. Yeah, and they'll talk about things that they experience in their life. They can also bring up their memories. I get little flashes and images of things that happened in the recent past as well as the distant past. And they're very capable of remembering things similar to what we can remember. And it is really so interesting because you never know what they're going to talk about, what they're going to share. And then they'll tell me about you. They'll talk about what you're doing, who you're connected to, what's going on in your life. I've even had animals come through and tell me what their mom or dad had for breakfast that day or for lunch that day. So, and why they tell me these things, I don't know, because they can.
Yeah.
And it's part of their experience, and so they talk about it. And then I've had some pets share things that are just absolutely shocking. Like they'll know that somebody had an extensive surgery, or that somebody has just been diagnosed with a cancer or some kind of a disease. The things that they know about us are so incredible. You just can't even, you can't put a limit on it, because they, if you know it, like if it's in your energy field, if it's in your mind, they can pick up on it. They may not know what it is. Like, you know, pets don't know what cancer is, but they know that it's something that is causing pain or discomfort or hurting or causing us to feel not good or whatever. They know that. They may not know the big picture, but they will share all of those things. And you just never know what they're going to talk about. And I always give them the opportunity to talk first. They always get to share with me first.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's pretty interesting. Do they know that you are a human being that they are talking to, or are you just picking up their thoughts?
No, it's an actual conversation, just like what you and I are having right now. And I treat them in a way that I come across as their mom or dad's friend. And I introduce myself to them as Karen, their mom or dad's friend.
Oh, really?
We're here today to find out what's important to them and what's on their minds and what they want to talk about. And I tell them how beautiful they are, how gorgeous, how handsome, how stunning they are, and I literally just fill them up with all this love and gratitude and appreciation, and I send them all of that. And I've just found that that's the best way to start a communication session. I don't just dive right in and say, hey, your mom told me that you poop on the floor. What's up with that? You know, I don't do that.
Eventually tell you? Because a lot of people would be frustrated and say, why is he doing that? Or why is she doing that? But do you ever ask that question? Well, you don't begin with it, but you do ask it
right
later.
I do, but I develop a rapport with the animal first, and I let them share what they want to talk about, and I give them the opportunity to discuss whatever is on their mind. And I have found that when I take that approach, they're much more likely to answer my questions down the road than if I just literally open up the energy and go, hey, you know, tell me about this litter box issue.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Kind of like, well, who the heck are you? And right. I don't need to tell you anything.
Oh, isn't that interesting? So now, if there are several pets in a family, do you talk to them as a group or would you speak with them individually?
Well, I work off of a pet's photo. That's like having their cell phone number. I can just dial up their energy that way.
Really?
And so, yeah. So in a multi-pet household, though, let's face it, you know, pets are kind of, you know, always wanting attention and wanting to be in the spotlight, or most of them are anyway. They will often pipe up and say, you know, hey, I'm here, or is it my turn to talk, or things like that. And they do. They get jealous. They get anxious. And so I'm more at times, Roberta, like an air traffic controller trying to control, okay, it's your turn to talk. Okay, you wait over there. I'll get to you in a second.
God.
Okay, you hold on. So I'm having this whole conversation in my head with the animals while I still have their mom or dad on the phone with me. So I'm really multitasking like crazy. And people wonder why it's so draining.
I'm sure it is. Well, here's another question. I've had dogs and cats all my life. I think of them not just as different species, but almost on different planets. I mean, dogs seem to have basically one dial setting, and that's love. Whereas cats think you serve them. They really do believe they're the dominant species. At least my cats always have. Maybe it's my fault. Are they really that similar, though, when you talk with them? Or do they feel as if they're different and the cats are more selfish, maybe, and the dogs are more loving? It was hard for me to believe they were all thinking of themselves first, because most dogs don't seem to.
Well, you really hit it on the nail there, because quite honestly, and I've been doing this for over 20 years now, and people always ask me, you know, who's easier to talk to? You know, is there cats or dogs or horses? And I have to say, without a doubt, if there is an animal out there that's going to make a fool out of me, it's going to be a cat.
Yes, right.
They are, they're so, they're almost too smart, because they can figure things out. They're master manipulators. You know, dogs can be too, and
oh,
certainly
cats are terrible,
you know,
that way.
But cats are so good at it, and I've had them blatantly tell me fibs. I've had them point at another cat in the household if there was a litter box issue, when they knew darn well it was them doing it.
Yes.
And you know,
yes, that's who they are.
It's very humbling to communicate with a cat. Now, not all of them are that way, of course, thank goodness, but majority of them are very much like that, similar to that, and they can come across very intelligent, extreme intelligence, almost to the point where they will be like, really, do we have to talk about this? You know, if they could roll their eyes, they would roll their eyes.
Yes.
And they don't really see that there's anything wrong with what they're doing. See, that's what's so difficult about cats and motivating them, because dogs are easily motivated, or can be easily motivated. It's really hard to motivate a cat to change a behavior. It's really hard.
That is so good. Everyone, see the difference? Now, if you have cats and dogs both, you understand what she's saying is right on. But I always thought it was probably me. I was probably screwing things up, but uh-uh. We have one cat who's named April, who has been a pet of grandchildren and children, and she's probably 10 now or a little older. And now she lives with us, and my goodness, I never saw anybody so convinced that it's her house, and if we don't move right away, she's just going to make sure somebody else moves in instead. That's literally her attitude toward us. If you want to be
helpful, I'm not surprised. I feel your pain, Roberta. I do. I have several cats in the house, so I feel your pain.
And as I said in the beginning, one of the things that people most need, many of us, suddenly, is someone who can talk with a dead pet and have the dead pet forgive us. So to have a communicator we can reach out to when we, you know, have a loss is a wonderful thing. So talk about communicating with the dead pets. How does that go? What do they tell us?
Well, it's probably one of the coolest experiences ever. And just think about it for a second. There's no physical body. They are pure energy. So like when you and I someday, when our time comes, we'll leave our body and we will continue to exist in another realm, but we are in an energetic form. So everything is communicated on the other side through mind-to-mind communication, telepathy. Everything is a telepathic message or an energetic message.
Yes.
It's sending energy between the two of us. So think about that. When your pet makes their transition out of their physical body, they leave that body behind, and they really don't worry about what happens to their remains. They are excited and thrilled when we make a big deal out of it and do memorials and have, you know, have their cremains and all of that stuff, but it's really more because it makes us happy than it's about what their worries are. They don't really... they're not attached to that body. What happens
so,
to
so
it?
So they will tell you, isn't it nice that they buried me with this nice memorial and put flowers?
Right.
Really? Oh, yep. That's nice.
Yes. They will actually describe to me, like if you have a little memorial area set up with your pet's remains and maybe something that belonged to them, they can describe that to me if they so desire. And they love that. They love the attention that it causes, and they love that that you love it. That's what they care about. So it's kind of like if you and I trade in a car and we get a brand new car, we get a newer car, we don't really worry about what happens to our old car, the trade-in. You know, we don't sit around and fret over it, and the animals are the same way. They don't fret about what happened to their physical body. They don't really give it much thought. They're off on this new adventure. They're zipping around. They're having a great time. They're with our family, our loved ones, our other departed pets. They're learning how to be an energetic being, and they're zipping all over the place. They're having a great time. And they're always around us. They're almost always around us. They're never far. If we're thinking about them or having a memory, it draws them in even closer. And then energetically speaking, they are able to communicate with me much more clearly than a pet who is still here in physical form.
Really?
Because there's no physical body. There's
yeah.
no bones and muscle and distractions out the window or someone knocking at the door or somebody who's hungry or whatever. There are no distractions. So it is pure energy. It's so easy for me, so easy to tap into that.
Well, I think that's interesting. I mean, it's kind of reassuring too. But what you say about their communication, that they are all energy and that their communication is telepathic, that's also true, of course, of humans who have transitioned to the other area of life. I don't like saying the other side because people use that term all the time, and it's really not a side. It's really right here. It's just a slightly higher vibration reality that exists right in the same place. But this is what the dead consistently tell us about what happens to pets. If you love an animal, that animal has transitioned, is now beautiful, young, healthy again, and is playing in this great reality where love never dies. It's just waiting for us. Although because there's no time there, it doesn't seem to take us very long to get there, which is a great thing. So I just want to confirm everything Karen says. But now I wonder, have you ever tried to contact a pet that had died and been unsuccessful, or does it always work?
Never. I have never had that happen. And I've had them be so upset about their humans' emotions because of their passing that it's difficult to get messages through, and that's something that I have to really work with some clients about, because after a loss, a lot of clients want to get a session right away, and while the pets are usually ready to talk, it's the human energy that can really interfere and cause a static, which makes the messages hard for me to understand. And it's not anything that we're doing wrong. It's just that grief is like a heavy, wet blanket that is over us.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can totally relate. And what that heavy, wet blanket does is it's like trying to swim through mud. It's like trying to see through fog. For me as a psychic and a medium, trying to receive a message when there's a heavy, wet blanket cast over you, it's really difficult. It's a challenge. And so I really counsel my clients and say, I know you're grieving. I know this is so difficult for you. However, it's important for you to be emotionally calm and in a peaceful state of mind before we connect. You'll get much better results. The messages will come through more clearly. I'll be able to understand what your beloved pet is trying to say. And it'll be a better experience for everyone. I've done it where the pet has like literally passed away minutes ago, and the animals are ready to go. They're ready to talk. They're ready to share, but the people aren't.
And there are people driving. There are people driving in their cars who are saying, why would grief be so bad? Here's the thing. Consciousness, which is the only thing that actually exists, and we experience it as human consciousness, but it's really the only thing that exists in a range of vibrations. At the highest level is perfect love. Right around there is probably where most of our pets are. The lowest vibration is really fear is at its core, but it's all the other negative feelings, anger, hatred, all of those things, and grief. Grief is one of the lowest vibration emotions. So that, with the fact that you feel that as a wet blanket, is a perfect analogy. Until we can get past the worst of our grief, we are basically so far energetically, vibrationally from those we love, whether human or animal, that you really can't get through. That's why most mediums will say 6 months. Call me in 6 months after the death.
Yes.
And I'll talk about it. Yes.
Yes, and I know that a lot of my clients have told me and shared with me that they are worried that their grief is going to harm their pet on the other side or in the afterlife,
yes,
or keep them from moving forward on their spiritual path. And that's just not the case, Roberta. The animals are fine on the other side. We don't have to worry about them. They are very in tune to us and our emotions. So when we're sad, obviously they can pick up on that. And when we're happy, they can pick up on that too. But grieving for your pet is okay. And it's perfectly fine to grieve. And I encourage grief. This is how we move into healing. We have to honor those feelings. It's an expression of great love, having a great amount of grief. This is truly somebody that you have loved and cared for sometimes years and years and years. You deserve to grieve, and your body and your soul and your spirit needs to grieve. Let it happen. You're not going to cause your pet any pain from your grief. You're not going to keep them from traveling forward on their spiritual journey. Of course, they want you to heal as soon as you can. But don't try to shorten your grief or beat yourself up for it or let other people tell you to get over it. That's the one that drives me crazy.
Yeah, it does. So how do you get over your grief? Everyone's short answer. Learn where they are and what they're doing. This is true with our loved ones who are human and have transitioned and our loved ones who are pets and have transitioned. When you know for certain that your loved one, A, is fine, and B, is waiting for you, and C, loves you just as much and forgives you if there was ever a need to forgive you. When you know all of that for certain in your heart, you know, that takes care of 80 or 90% of your grief. You will see them again. You will hold your pet, and your pet will remember everything about your life together, all the little secret things you and he or she shared. So when you really get that, it's not going to be raw. It won't be. When my parents transitioned, I already, of course, knew the truth. I didn't even cry. I was so glad for them. And I've talked with them since, and we're going to get a very great reunion when we get there. Well, that's true with all of our loved ones. Isn't that beautiful? But it's true.
It really is. And well said, and it's something I think that most of my clients really found peace of mind, just knowing that, hey, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to feel that pain when you lose a beloved pet. And sometimes, like we mentioned earlier, they grieve more deeply for a pet than they have for a human loved one. No disrespect to the human loved one at all. It's just it's a different kind of love we have for our pets. It's a more intense love. It's this unconditional, almost, it's just difficult to even define it. It's so intense. And this really deserves the grief time and the time where you heal yourself and you learn to move forward in your life without that beloved pet by your side. And it's a process. It takes time. So take your time. Grieve and go through the steps and treat yourself well and just try to end on a happy note. And this is what I tell my clients. Yes, it's fine to grieve, feel the pain, cry, do whatever you have to do, but try to end on a happy memory or something that pet did during your lifetime that would bring you joy, and post those happy pictures up around your house or somewhere that brings a smile to your face.
Yes.
That's how you can help yourself get through your grief and into a space of healing, and just know that the whole time you're doing this, your pet is right there with you, watching you go through all of these things.
Yes.
And they're right by your side. There's nowhere else they would rather be. You are and always have been the most important person in the world to your pet. And there is nowhere else they would rather be.
I have to say, I've talked with a number of pet communicators, and Karen seems to me to be the most expert I've ever talked with. I have a friend, long ago, who used to call puppies pain in a fur coat, which is what they are, because when you go get the new puppy, you know that within 15 years, you're going to be in tears because the puppy will go home. They don't live that long compared to our lives. But that's all the more reason why we need people like Karen who can help us do the closure with the animals that we love so intensely. So tell me about guilt, because as I analyze all these, I get emails every day from people who have lost a pet. And as I analyze all those emails, I can't begin to tell you. I think they're all because I feel guilty. I should have done it differently, done something differently. Now, you must hear from pets whose parents are feeling that way. What do they say about, I shouldn't have taken him to the vet, or I didn't realize how sick she was, or all of that? What do they say to their beloved parents?
Well, truly, you know, with every single communication session I have, I learn something new. And that's what I love about this, is we have barely scratched the surface for this communication process, especially with the afterlife. And I'm always wanting to find out more. I'm wanting to learn more from the animals. What can you tell me about the other side? What's it like over there? How do things work over there? You know, tell me, I want to learn. But one of the things that they share with me is this thing that we call guilt, and how attached we are to it, and
yes,
how not attached they are to,
yes,
guilt.
Yes.
It's like, what? Here's like a typical response. What? What do you mean? How do I feel about them not doing the surgery? What? What do you mean about how I feel about them euthanizing me? What are you talking about?
Yes.
They don't see it that way. It's like this big aha moment where, I know for me anyway, because I carried stupid guilt with me for 30 years over a cat that I thought I was responsible for his death. I wasn't, but I thought I was. And the cat was like, what are you talking about? You had nothing to do with that. Here's what I tell my clients. You are no more responsible for your pet's death than you were for their life. Unless, of course, you set out to harm them in some way or to end their life. Then, of course, different story. But we know we don't do that. People don't do that.
They're happy to be brought to the vet, right? This dog
they
is...
They are. They want us to help them, because Mother Nature forces them, survival of the fittest, to stay in a body that they don't want to be in anymore.
Yes.
And
yes,
struggle. And so when we offer help to them, think about it, Roberta, it's coming from a place of love in our hearts, that we're trying to do the right thing for them, the best thing for them. We're not doing it to cause them harm. We're not doing it to end their life. We're not doing it to hurt them in any way. We're doing it because our hearts are breaking and we're trying to do what's best for our pet. They inherently know this, sense this above all else. So you are never held in contempt. You are never held responsible. The animals say it to me like this: thank you so much for helping me leave a body that was failing me.
Yes, yes.
And they came in.
If it was a little too soon, they don't say, oh, you should have waited a week. No.
No. No, and on that note, you bring up such a good point. I have so many pets tell me, my mom or dad waited too long.
Yes, that's right. That's what I hear too. Yes.
They waited too long. I was ready to go, and they kept me here too long, and I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I'll admit it. I was one of those people that would go to all these great lengths and surgeries and procedures and medications and shove them down their throat and inject them. And I did that. I'm one of those people who did that. I don't do it anymore, because there is a natural process that the animals let us know. They start acting weird, they go off their food, they're just not themselves, their spark, that special thing about them just isn't there anymore. They give us so many signs, but we go blind to those because we don't want that pain. So we turn it off, we pretend we don't see it, we act like, oh no, they're just having a bad day. I have walked that walk. I have been in those shoes so many times.
But truly, that's what they most of all want us to understand. Not only do they not blame them, but they're grateful. Everybody I've ever talked with who is the remotest pet communicator has said exactly the same thing. They want to go to the vet. They love us. They don't want to be in a body that's painful. They don't. If they're never going to get better, it's time to go. I mean, don't you think that's what they all say? Because everybody I ever talked to has said that.
Well, they don't have a sense of a long life is a successful life. They don't see that. In an animal's mind, the quality of the time here is more important than the quantity of the years they spend here. So humans see it the opposite. Oh, we have to have a long life to have a good and successful life.
Yeah.
Animals don't see it that way. They're all about the here, right now. How am I feeling at this moment? How is my life right now? They don't look at longevity as a must-have. That's a human concept and a human perception, certainly not a pet's perception. And this is what I share with my beloved clients as I tell them, your pets came into this world with dignity. Let them leave with dignity.
Oh, so, that's a wonderful point. Yes, exactly.
And help them. Help them maintain their dignity. Don't do it when they're in crisis. That's not fun for anyone. And,
no.
You know, help them leave when they're peaceful, when they're calm, when they're quiet. Yeah, they might have had another day or two or a week or two with you, but that doesn't matter in the big picture. That really doesn't matter. What happens is you help them leave when they're calm, when they're peaceful. You help them leave with dignity. They go out of this world like they came into this world, peacefully, quietly, surrounded by somebody that loves them and cares about them, that isn't in a panic state. You know how it is when we're trying to rush them to the vet and we think they're dying and, oh my gosh,
that's
we
not,
can't
that's
breathe.
That's painful. Exactly.
That's not good. That's not good for any of us. My blood pressure's going up right now just thinking about it. So don't do that. You know, take time with your pet.
Tell us your website, so because there are people who are going to want to reach out, I think, as soon as they hear you talk. How can they get in touch with you and get one of those wonderful responders?
My website is really easy. It's KarenAnderson.net. It's not the com one. That's somebody else. KarenAnderson.net.
Easy.
And everything you could possibly want to know about me is on there. I probably share a little bit too much, but I figure more info is better than not enough info because I am totally transparent. I have nothing to hide. You can look up my past on my about page. You can see how I got here. That's the best way to reach me. And, of course, there's a contact page on there that has my email information, my phone contact. And that is the best way to get me. Of course, I'm on Facebook as well. I don't tweet because I can't figure it out. So I just auto-upload.
Only birds should be tweeting.
I can't figure it out. I've tried it, and I just fail miserably. So I just gave up. I'm like, I'll just have it auto-load from Facebook. But that's the best way to reach me.
And KarenAnderson.net.
KarenAnderson.net.
Everyone. This has been fun, and we are going to have Karen back. There's a lot more she has to tell us. Karen, big hug. You have been terrific. Thank you. Thank you so much on behalf of everyone.
My pleasure, Roberta. Thank you. This is awesome. Let's do it again.
Don't you love this enthusiasm? Thank you so much. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm really glad you were with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, your whole life will be transformed for the better. Next week, we're going to be talking with Cliff Taylor. Cliff is a Texas oil man, and he's worked in the oil business all over the world. And he also is one of many people now from all walks of life who are, as they feel the veil thinning, are developing their own ways to connect with spirit. And I like bringing people like Cliff to you because each of us resonates with the work of spirit in our own way. And among all these Seek Reality guests, there will probably be someone whose ideas and method will work for you. His new book is called Connections, and Cliff himself is really quite a character. So I think you'll enjoy getting to know him. Please join us next week. This week, we've been speaking with Karen Anderson. Karen is a very prominent animal communicator. Now you understand why. And she, as I say, she has the best email responder I've ever seen. I think that you are going to love getting to know her better. And if you ever need her help, she will be able to help you so beautifully. You don't have to live in pain. Your animal is fine. I don't care when it died. I don't care, you know, who it is. All the animals that we ever have loved are waiting for us now, young, healthy, and happy. And Karen, who has helped so many people connect with their pets who have transitioned, and she has helped so many people to better understand the pets that might not be quite as happy as they should be right here on Earth. So she can, if you love animals, she's an arrow you need to keep in your quiver for when you really need her. And The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, her book, is I think, such important reading for bereaved pet parents that, as I say, I'm going to start to include it in the very limited lexicon of only 70 books or thereabouts that is at the end of each of my fun books. As you know, I have a lot of books. You can, the easiest way to get them, frankly, is on Amazon, but they're also available as audiobooks. You always can reach me through robertagrimes.com. And past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net and elsewhere. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy, please make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being. And most of all, you in particular are especially infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.